from verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, 60 cubits high and 6 cubits wide, and set it upon the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisers, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisers, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations and peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of providence of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?"
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the burning furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisers, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the burning furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisers crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their body, nor a hair on their heads. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him, and he defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into a pile of rubble, for no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon.
Thank you very much, ladies. Appreciate that. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that we're able to just hear your word, Father, to share it together, to read it together. And we pray, Lord, right now as we just spend time looking into it together, that you would just bless us, Father, that you would speak through me, Father, that everything that's said would bring glory to you. We just thank you, Lord God, for this wonderful opportunity. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's an incredible account, isn't it, of a man who has forgotten his roots. A man who has decided that he is worthy of worship and how unstuck he becomes. But I want to just share quickly with you, not an English lesson, I promise, a couple of words. Resilience, the dictionary says, is the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties, stroke toughness. Okay, so the capacity to withstand or to recover quickly from difficulties or toughness. It also says something about a word, resolute, which is admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. Okay, so admirably purposeful, determined, and unwavering. So our two words this morning are resolute resilience. We're not embarking, I promise, on an English lesson, although I did find that having two words beginning with R was also quite good alliteration. Eh? You're welcome. You're welcome. But these two words pieced together describe perfectly these three men that we've just heard about in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They showed resolute resilience in the face of near certain death. The question is why, firstly, and then also, because it's important for us to know, how, secondly. Firstly, why did they do this? Why did they stand firm? And secondly, how did they go about it? And we'll endeavour to answer them as we go through. But first, how do these words and their meanings fit into our day-to-day life? Resolute resilience. Do we even implement resilience when faced with adversity? Or are we happy to, and to coin the phrase, go with the flow? Because it's easier. It causes less trouble. Maybe we implement a little bit of resilience, but if it gets too real and things start to turn a little bit sour, we falter. Or we shy away from showing any resoluteness at all. Being a person who lives with these words as part of their DNA, if we were these type of people, they can have a huge effect on the world around about us. If they're used for good, of course. If the idea and the reason, the meaning behind them is used for good in a positive way, the impact, I believe, around us can be like a ripple in a pond. And we're going to see that through these three gentlemen, as we've already read. And back then in Daniel chapter 3, this resolute resilience, these people that we've read about, they are going to implement this in a position or in a place where they are absolutely, completely and utterly, seemingly, at the mercy of a man who has got some idea of grandeur. King Nebuchadnezzar, consumed with his own power, decided that he would make a huge gold statue. But he wasn't just happy with a gold statue of himself. What he also wanted everybody to do was to bow down and worship that statue whenever the instruments were played. So here's a man who wants to be worshipped, a man who has got some idea of God in his mind. And in verse 5 and 6, as soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So not only is it, it's not a request as in, you know, if you get chance, stop what you're doing and worship the gold image that I've set up. But no, it's absolute law. You have to bow down and worship this gold image that I'm setting up. And whenever you hear the music, that's what you have to do. When it was just, you know, an idea, that's what we perhaps, if we get chance to do, you could maybe avoid it. But now all of a sudden it's law. And if I don't do it, well, then I'm going to die. If I don't do it, I'm going to be thrown into a blazing furnace. Now, naturally, this would cause a major issue for some of the king's staff. Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they worshipped God. They worship Yahweh, the God of Israel. So all of a sudden, having a statue that they've got to bow down and worship, well, that goes against everything that they are. It goes against everything that they believe in. It goes against everything that they stand for. So when Nebuchadnezzar does this, they're presented with a major dilemma. Either they yield to keep the peace. We don't want to upset him, do we? Either they yield and they keep the peace, or they stand firm, even though it's the law. They stand firm, and seemingly they will die in a furnace. Now, the first question that I posed right at the beginning was, why? And verse 16 through 18 gives us the answer. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar. They address him accordingly. But listen to their next words. We do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. How do you think King Nebuchadnezzar took that? Hang on a minute. I'm the king. I am the most powerful man on earth. Nay, I am the most powerful man in the universe. So you've got to bow down and worship this gold image that I've set up. And they're saying, we don't even need to defend ourselves to you on this matter. Very brave. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve, you see how you've got a capital G there, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods, see the small g, or worship the image of gold you have set up. They serve God. They serve Yahweh. And they certainly know that God can save them. Yet they're also, because of their faith, certain that if he doesn't save them in this moment, that their resolute resilience was not misplaced. Do you understand that? That even if God doesn't save them, that their resolute resilience, their toughness, their character, their person who they are in the Lord, that is not in question, even if he doesn't save them in this moment. They have still made the right choice. They have still made the right decision. Their resolute resilience was not misplaced. And the reasons why they don't bow down to this God or any other God or statue is because they knew, as we do, church, who they are and whose they are. That's because they knew. Their head knew, their heart knew. They were not in conflict, they were completely at ease with who they were and whose they were. They knew God's feelings on the matter. And you go, how? Well, the Ten Commandments. God had made it really clear. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, you shall not make any idols for yourself to worship. God has made it really clear in his word. These are the things that I don't want you to do. So they knew and they put it into action. Even in the face of utter adversity. And you'll see the commandments in a few places, but Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll get to see them all quite clearly. So they didn't waver as they told the king their stance. And in verse 16, they placed the king in his position. Yes, you are king over what we know as the world, but we worship the King of Kings. We worship Creator God. We worship Yahweh. We worship the God who is allowing you to be in power, King Nebuchadnezzar. And when your time is up, it will be up. Did you hear how the satraps, the prefects, and everybody else referred to him, "Oh, King, live forever"? I'm pretty certain he doesn't. I'm pretty certain he hasn't. There is only one who is worthy of our worship. Now, how then? Quite simply, they had conviction with substance. They knew the truth and they didn't waver because it was easier in the moment or it was less life-threatening. They stood firm. And when I say those words and we look at this account, we think, well, of course, well done them. Are we not faced with this kind of adversity every single day? Don't just think it's a gold statue and King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sure you can work out a myriad of things that we're being told that we have to agree with and we have to go along with. But the word says something else. And the question for us, church, is what do we do? Do we please everybody or do we please God? You could hear a pin drop. Well, I know the answer. And I know you do too. But I also know what feels easier sometimes in the moment. But church, we have to be really careful. Because here we have a clear example of three men that were willing to stand firm in the face of life-threatening adversity. Not in the face of being unfriended by somebody. Not in the face of being somebody that people talk about as somebody having resolute resilience. What an awful thing to be spoken about. They won't move from their faith, will they? Amen, church. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that our heart's desire? That we're able to stand before our Maker and he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Is that not what we're after? Is that not the goal? How much easier is it to do the opposite? And then we have faith in action. They were absolutely certain that God had got the situation. But the situation means the situation. It doesn't necessarily mean the situation how I think it's going to unfold, but it's the situation. God's got it in control. And if I go to this furnace and I burn up like the guys that took me there, then to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. What can they take from me? My eternal life? No. Can they take my relationship with a loving, living God? No. Church, if we're not careful, we place our ideology on what we feel is the most important thing in the moment. Well, the last thing I want to do is be thrown into a furnace. I've got plans tomorrow. But the reality is here that these men faced this issue and they stood firm. Faith that God had got them. Faith that God was not going to let them go. And of course, if you think about it, avoiding the how defeats the why. If I avoid the how, as in how am I going to stand firm? How am I going to, if I say, well, do you know what? I thought about the why, and yeah, it's good, but actually I've got a few friends that I'd like to keep. Friends. And all of a sudden, we have defeated the why because actually the how didn't really stand up to what I thought might, you know, well, the last thing I want to do is offend such and such. And I know the truth because God has recorded it in his word, but I won't fully apply it because what will people think? created beings, you and I. I won't fully apply the word because what will people think? And I'll ask us the question again. Does it matter what people think or does it matter what God thinks? And that's not about standing holier than thou. It's about loving the world around us. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego weren't disrespectful. They weren't rude. They weren't fighting for their lives. They just said, this is who we serve. This is the God who is in control. And whatever he decides, he decides. That is faith in action, isn't it? That is absolute, resolute resilience. And the problem is, if we go down the other side of it and say, well, I did know, but there were a lot of people in that room. And I didn't really want to say how I felt, so I just sort of kept quiet. And awkwardly, somebody asked me, and I just said, well, you know, and I know it's uncomfortable, but the very worst kind of stance, church, is knowing but not applying. Ignorance is bliss, isn't it? Because I didn't know, so therefore I've made a mistake. But when we do know, and how do I know? Well, the word tells me. How do we know? It's written in here. How do we know? Well, it's in the word. So therefore, I do know, so I can't plead ignorance. So knowing and not standing, well, it becomes a real issue, isn't it? And we don't want to be that kind of church. We don't want to be that kind of people. We want to be people that stand on the word of God. We want to be people that are not shaken by what the world is throwing and is going to throw at us. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego show resolute resilience. And it's not unnoticed by God. Verse 19 through 26, we get the outcome of the event. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious, as you'd imagine, with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And his attitude towards them changed. Oh dear. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. But these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. They've not been burnt up just yet. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, were there not 3 men that were tied up and thrown into the fire? Yeah, there certainly was, Your Majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the fire in the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, servants of the Most High God. Did you hear that? He didn't know who they were. In fact, he wasn't really interested. Now he knows exactly who they are because their testimony has said as much. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego came out of the fire and the satraps, prefects, governors and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not burned their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar said, listen, praise be to the God, big G, look. Do you see that? Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own capital G God. Therefore, I declare that the people of any nation or language, or he goes on, and the king promoted, verse 30, promoted Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Can God work out a situation that seemingly has no good outcome? for his good. Sorry, I feel like that fell on deaf ears. Can God work out a situation that seemingly has no good to come from it for his glory? Yes, he can. Is he able to do the immeasurably more? Yes, he is. Is he ever going to leave us or forsake us who are his children? No, he is not. He is able to do what he says he's going to do. And church, it's faith and it's application of faith. It's saying, God, I'm going to stand firm in the midst of adversity. I'm going to stand firm tomorrow in the office when they're going at me with the questions that are going to come, because that's what happens, and I'm going to stand firm. It's not my opinion, it's what my God says, amen? It's not my opinion, but it's what his word says. And that is where I am rooted. That is my faith, that is my stance, that's who I am. And I'm allowed to be that, amen? And we can stand firm on his promises. Now, Nebuchadnezzar knows who they are. He knows that they're servants of the Most High God. What about us, church? What about us? When the world is throwing things at us, how do we respond? May we be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we've received from it. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to stand firm for you. Father, that we wouldn't be shaken. That we'd be ready to make a stance, knowing what your word says and applying it into our lives. Lord, again, we just thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Bless us now as we continue in our worship together, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen.